Love that. Here's something. I don't know what that's off her pen, I think, Dale.
So,
yeah, there we go. Praise the Lord. How about that? Let's turn in our Bibles. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Joshua chapter 9. We're doing this on Wednesday evenings, and I'll bring a little bit of this into a Sunday message. Joshua chapter 9 is what we're looking at this morning. And it's putting God first in your life and the need to not think you know better, not think that you're smarter than God, not to think that you don't need God, but we need Him every step of the way. And if you imagine that you can do without Him, I think you're imagining quite wrong. And you'll see that in Joshua 9, that is what they discover. And I'll read the first 15 verses. I won't read the entire chapter, but if you'll stand with me this morning for a reading from the Word of the Lord. Of course, we are praying for these tragic plane events that have been taking place this week. And I got a text yesterday that one of our former deacons, Frank Griggs, he and his wife, Janelle, had moved into Texas. He passed away yesterday. Frank did. Frank, when he was, I think, you're Air Force, aren't you? Yeah, he would always, on Veterans Day, Frank would come in. He had been the captain of a battalion, chief of a battalion, and he would come in, just really enjoyed all of our veterans celebrations. One of our deacons, great deacons here at the church. He's safely home with the Lord, and we thank the Lord for his service to our church family. But we'll be praying for those in these plane accidents that have been taking place this week, and the helicopter as well. But if you'll follow along with me, I'll be reading from Joshua 9. And this is when the Gibeonites came in and just flat out lied to Joshua and the nation of Israel. And they didn't ask the Lord for His advice and see where it got them in that. Hear the word of the Lord, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were there on this side of Jordan in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite and the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willily or craftily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old, and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon the feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him, and to the men of Israel, "We be come from a far country now, therefore make ye a league, or make ye a covenant or treaty with us." And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, "Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you?" And they said unto Joshua, "We are thy servants." And Joshua said unto them, "Who are you? And from whence come ye? Where are you from?" And they said unto him, "From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were destroyed, that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake unto us, saying, 'Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants.' Therefore now make ye a league, a covenant, a treaty with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our homes on the day that we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it's dry and it's moldy. These bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. These our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. The men took of their victuals and asked, this is a key phrase. The men took of the victuals, this would be Joshua and Israel, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we have this day to worship, to think about the promise, to think about anchor holding, to think about my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. Think about there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Father, we now turn our attention to your word and ask, as Joshua needed wisdom, he needed guidance, he needed counsel, he needed to not be naive. Lord, if there's a big need of the church today, it's to be discerning, to be thinking constantly. If we're listening to someone give a political speech or something at City Hall or just talking to our neighbors or watching the nightly news or watching a movie, doing anything, we need you. Help us think. Help us be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. Open now our ears to Joshua. I guess you can learn from people's mistakes. Help us to learn from their mistakes. Bless each heart. If there are any lost, save them. Father, we thank you for Frank Griggs, the faithful service that he provided for our church as a deacon. Pray that you'd bless his family, his dear wife today. Father, bless these dear souls that were lost in these tragic aircraft, helicopter, plane accidents this week. What a terrible week. We all grieve. When one hurts, we all hurt together. We pray for them. Bless now as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, what would you say is the biggest need of the church? I would have to say it's think on your feet. I would have to say it's lean on the Holy Spirit. I would have to say be able to see, you know, the right from the wrong, to be able to see through all these shades of gray that we live in, to know the way of the Lord and to walk with Him, you know, step by step, in step with the Holy Spirit of God to protect us. That's big. I would say the biggest need of the church maybe would be godly leadership. That's huge. I think discernment is right up at the top of the list, just to know. And you see a lack of it here. There's these themes through Scripture, and, you know, good themes, bad themes, whatever kind of themes. There's these themes through Scripture that just kind of run. One of them, my people have forgotten me. Another, every man did that which was right in his own heart. Another one here, they did not seek the counsel of the Lord. I mean, it's such a simple statement, isn't it? They didn't seek the counsel of the Lord. I don't need him. You talk about that's a theme all the way through Scripture. In our lives, you know, souls hang in the balance on seeking wisdom from the Lord and guidance from Him. The world is full of liars. Somebody say amen. It's true. I hate to say it. Scammers. You say, oh, preacher, you're so dramatic when you're up there. Listen, they call me every day on my cell phone. I mean, I'm honest. I had this text the other day. Hey, we want to deliver this package to you, but we want to deliver this package. We're trying to, your package is being delayed because we don't know your address. Could you provide us your address? It's like I go down to the post office and I say, you know, I got this weird text message. You don't know my address. Yeah, that's a scam. There's thousands of people that walk in here every day and delete that. Don't do anything with that. I said, you know my address, don't you? I'm like, yeah, we know your address. There's people that call counterfeit websites. We got something from our bank, Marilyn and I. I mean, you talk about looking like our bank. I mean, they had the logo, they had the color, they had the font, they had everything. I'm like, this is your bank and we want to talk to you. We were like, what in the world is our bank wanting to talk to us about? Go to the bank, we call the bank. You sending us an email? No, we're not sending you an email. Report that to our fraud department. There's counterfeit emails, counterfeit phone calls. The recent one I get is the ghost calls. Anybody getting ghost calls where you pick it up and nobody's there? It's like, what in the world? Like, you don't even hear a click. You don't hear. I love the ones that I open up and I can hear some kind of a call center. There's this buzz in the back, people talking, bzz, 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 and I'm just like, I don't want to talk to them. As a pastor, you say you shouldn't be answering those calls. As a pastor, I don't know. These calls are coming from Reed Spring. These calls are coming from like Branson. What? They're coming from Branson. I don't know who these people are. Not everybody that I need to talk to is in my context. As a pastor, I feel like I need to. Somebody needs me. You got to answer, right? You just can't say I'm not going to answer those if they're not in my context. I'm not going to. You got to be discerning. I may not have the luxury of just denying every call, but be discerning out there in this big wide world of sports. Famous one here, and there's been people here who have fallen prey to this. This is going to sound strange. Someone getting a call and saying, hey, your grandson's in jail. And, you know, if you'll just go down to Walmart and buy $1,000 worth of gift cards and send them out. I don't know how this thing goes. There have been people here who have fallen prey trying to help grandson get out of jail. Trying to help I didn't know my grandson was in jail. That's weird. And they'll send a text and say, we have a shirt on hold. Thank you for your purchase. You purchased this. This is so good. We've got this on reserve for you. Like, did you purchase something from these people? No, I didn't purchase anything from those people. And so if it's too good to be true, probably not true. Deceit is all around. The water is full of it. The air is full of it. Television's full of it. Emails are full of it. Phones are full of it. Computers are full of it. Email, everything. You have to be very cautious. And with artificial intelligence on the rise, you think it's going to get better. It's only going to get like a million times worse. With artificial intelligence coming into play. I'm sure artificial intelligence is going to offer us some cures to some long overdue diseases and some other collateral benefits, but along with it, the bad guys are going to use it to sink the ship, and you can't be cautious enough. You say, well, were people scammed in the Bible? Were people scammed in the Bible? This is a scam. Said, you know, we left the house with our fresh bread. I mean, the bread was fresh. It was hot. It was still in. It came right out of the oven. Man, when we left, our shoes on our feet were brand new. This clothing that I'm, and they come in there like a ragtag bunch with old wine and moldy bread saying, we have gone forever to get to you. They had only gone like a couple of days. This was a scam of huge proportions. And delivered by the Gibeonites in Joshua 9. I want you to see for a moment a little bit about their deceit and how they pulled this off. a little bit about their deceit. I want you to notice for a moment a little bit about the discovery. Finally, they have this aha moment. A little, you know, too far, the horse is out of the barn, and they've already created this covenant and this treaty, and they're sharing food, and they're in, so they can't go back on it, and they don't do any harm to them, because although they lied to them, they made a promise to God that they would not do these others harm. But the discovery. I want to talk for a moment about the discovery. And then the last thing I want to talk about is just the direction. When they said that verse 14, a little side note here, they didn't ask for the counsel of the Lord. That is, to me, a critical mistake that they made that perhaps that some of us are making. We need to lean on the Lord step by step, day by day, as we walk with Him. First, the deceit. It's found in that first opening. The details of the deceit are listed. You heard me read all about it in those 15 verses. Gibeon was a strong city. Gibeon had a strong army. Gibeon was one of these people that was on the to-do list. We've got to destroy these people. You're going into the promised land. It's Operation Promised Land. Jericho's down. Ai's down. There's others that are going to be going down as Israel enters into the promised land given to them by the Lord. If there was ever a holy war, this is a holy war, and Gibeon is on the to-do list. But Gibeon hears about Egypt. And Gibeon hears about, probably the Red Sea. I don't think it's mentioned there. Gibeon hears probably about the wandering in the wilderness and God protecting them. Gibeon hears about Jericho, strong, mighty, 14 feet walls, high, 70 foot high, 14 wide. The walls come tumbling down. Gibeon hears about Ai. Gibeon hears about crossing the Jordan River at flood stage. No one is drowned. They all get safely across at flood stage. Gibeon heard, and it scared them to death. I often think as a church when we worship together, are they hearing about anything that we do here that would scare them spitless? Oh, I pray to God they will. That we have a God that is like no other God. And that lives are changed in this place, and directions and souls are saved, and great things are going on. A little minor thing, paying off $1.4 million in my first 96 months. It's like, boom, baby, it's done. I want the world to hear what God is doing in our midst. It is exciting and it is thrilling. Israel's God conquered Egypt. Israel's God parted the Red Sea. Israel's God. So often I think the God that the church is presenting, it's like, take it or leave it, no big deal. Oh, God is a big deal. And our God, it's huge. And the kings put on their deceit. They put on poor clothing. They put on old shoes. They put in old wine. They put it in old, deteriorated, dilapidated wineskins. They put in moldy food. They pulled the wool over Israel's eyes. They drew them into a treaty. And we are told they did not seek God for counsel. Their failure created issues in the land of Israel. I would say it was on the news this week. They messed up. We're still dealing with it because they messed up. And it's still making the news to this day that they messed up. Hebrews 12:2 encourages us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on Christ. Make Him the passion of your life. The big deal about this church, I'll tell you the big deal about this church. It is Christ. The big deal is the Father. The big deal is the Son. The big deal is the Spirit. They're a pretty big deal. And when you walk through these doors, we want you to have an encounter with the Father and with the Son and with the Spirit. Now, it is
it is entirely gullible to say your grandchild is in prison. Don't you know we need $1,000? Wire us $1,000 and we can get him. It is entirely one thing to be gullible to that. It's an entirely different thing to be gullible at a whole new level, spiritual problems. I think the Spirit will help you with these social things, the emails, the texts, and all of the phone calls and all of the mail that you get. I think He will help you with. I'm not poo-pooing that away and just saying that's no big deal. That is big, but the biggest scam is if I had a guy take me out to dinner one time. Says, "Want you to come to lunch with me, preacher?" And I'm like, "Okay. You pay, I pray. Here we go." Yeah, I'm just saying. And my wife says, "Don't say that." She's, look at her. She's still shaking her head. No. That sweet little thing over there. She didn't think I ought to say that. I don't know. I thought it was kind of, it's true. You pay, I pray. Boy, I'm going to need help going home now, boys. So, he says, "You come to dinner." Okay. He says, "You know the biggest problem the church has? Biggest problem the church has?" Well, what's the biggest problem the church? Is that you keep preaching the Trinity. The Trinity. I mean, do you know that people are being driven into the arms of Jehovah's Witnesses, being driven into the arms of the Mormons, being driven into the arms? I said, "What are you talking about? The Trinity? I mean, the whole Trinity was involved." I mean, Paul opens up the first two or three verses of Romans with, "Praise be to God the Father, praise be to the Son, praise be to the Holy Spirit." What are you talking about? Don't be scammed. Don't let them get you. The other day, what was it? At a former church, I had Jehovah's Witnesses knock on the door of the church. And I go to the door. I'm in my office. Boom. "Hey, how are you?" "Good. We're Jehovah's Witnesses. We want to come in and chat with you." I said, "Well, just come right on in here." And so we sat and visited for a while, and they said, "Would you read our product?" This isn't in my notes. I'm so sorry. Would you read our product?" I said, "I would love your product. Can I have it? I'll take your product if you take my product." So, bang, we're in. So I gave them some messages and some stuff in our church, and they gave me a bunch of stuff from their Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said, "You're going to read this?" They said, "You're going to read this? You're going to read this?" I said, "I'm absolutely going to read it." They said, "Are you reading it to learn from it?" I said, "I want to learn from it." They said, "Well, why do you want to learn from it?" So right now I'm preaching through 2 Peter on false prophets and I'm preaching through 2 Peter on false prophets, and I mean, I want to get it right from the horse's mouth. They said, "Could we have our product back, please? And we'll give you your product back." Do not be scammed by. If they'll knock on the preacher's door, they'll at church. I got a phone call the other day. It was, I forget how it was a text. I mean, it was a voicemail, and it said, "Hey, you know, this is," I forget her name, "Amy from blah, 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 and we've got a beautiful website, and you're going to learn, you know, blah, 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 and you're going to go to this," and it was like LDS.com. They called the church. They called the church. I mean, you people got to think. They'll call me at my church. They'll call anybody. Deceit. It's more tragic as it is to be gullible to social media scams, emails, and phone calls. It's even more tragic to be spiritually gullible. You say, "What has God given me? Has He given me something to help me?" How about a precious book? How about the Holy Spirit in your heart? How about Him saying in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me and I will answer thee"? How about James saying, "You need wisdom?" James says, "Ask, He'll give you wisdom." Jesus saying, ask, you will receive, knock, the door will be opened. It's yours. Just call unto me. Deceit. The woods are full of deceit. Discovery 16. It came to pass at the end of 3 days. They hang out with the Gibeonites for 3 days. They made a league. They made a treaty. They made a covenant with them. It was only then that they heard that they were their neighbors. It was only then that they heard, these guys aren't from miles away. In other words, really, if they're from so far away that they wear their shoes out, they wear their clothes out, their food gets moldy, their wine gets old, what are they worried about anyway? If they're a million miles away, who cares? We're interested in the guys that are right next to us. Their antenna should have gone up. And I said, Joshua should have set them down and said, where are you from? And if they would have said a million miles away, Joshua said, no, you tell me where you're from. And who are you? And maybe not take their first answer as the answer. Tell me who you really are. But he didn't ask. So about 3 days later, they begin to figure out the discovery is made. Who? These guys are not from a million miles away. I can walk there in like 2 days. They are next on the list. The discovery is made. And rather than being many miles from home, they were neighbors. They were on God's to-do list to eventually destroy. Like Satan, the Gibeonites came, and he appeared as an angel of light. The Gibeonites came. They appeared to be on the up and up. The Gibeonites came. They appeared to be telling the truth. The church traffics in truth. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. In John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Stay in the word. Read the word. Read the word every day in your quiet time. This church is open. I'm preaching 3 messages a week at this church. Probably my wife shakes her head at me 3 times a week in this church. So you can get fed on Sunday morning. You can get fed on Sunday night. You can get fed on a Wednesday. This is actually a Wednesday night message that I'm giving to you tonight. This is what goes on a Wednesday night. People say, I don't want to go on a Wednesday night. I want to worship the Lord. Come on a Wednesday night. You'll be fed from the word of the Lord. The discovery was made. Because Israel vowed to let them live, they didn't go back on their promise. Putting God first means you know the questions to ask. You can read, you can kind of cut through it. He gives you discernment. You can see wrong from right. You should be able, I want you to be so well-tuned biblically that you can smell a lie. That you can sniff it out. Putting God first means you're guided by the Holy Spirit more than you're guided by others. Putting God first means that you want to please God more than you want to please others. Putting God first says, if I know I'm going the right way and someone even in my family that is going the other way, I'm going to keep going the right way because I have to answer to God for the way I go. We need God's guidance. Every bit as much as Israel needed God's guidance, we need it today. Peter says, cast all your cares upon him. And I think it's 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. You can tell God anything. You can cast your cares upon him. Spiritually, Israel was impatient. Spiritually, Israel wasn't waiting on God. Spiritually, Israel wasn't waiting for God. Spiritually, Israel didn't think they needed God. You're never wasting time waiting on God. You're never wasting time when you wait on him, when you look for him, when you need him. Lastly, I want us to see the direction. And I'm looking back at that 14. The men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Lessons learned from not putting God first. Remember this. remember the great commandment. They were asked Jesus, tell us the great commandment. And he didn't say, well, I like number 3 and number 7 out of 10. Those are the great commandments. I like 3 and 7. 3 and 7, final answer. That's not what he said. He said, this is the great commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Love him. Put him first in everything. Cue God up, not at the back of the queue. Cue God up at the front of the queue. Wait on him. Jesus would say, seek ye, not second, not third, not fourth, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto him. Put God first is the name of the message today. Put him at the head, make him the engine of the train, and let him guide you. People say, well, I know more than God knows. Or God is some kind of a cosmic killjoy. Or I'm a little bit smarter than he is. Or I don't think he's that interested in this particular decision that I'm making here. I don't think I want to bother him. I don't want to bother him with that. He's got other things that are more important to do. Or I can do this by myself, like I was when I was a little kid. Look, Mom, no hands, here I go. And then crash, 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 right? I can do this by myself. I don't need the hands of the Lord. Or God's will is unknowable. He doesn't talk to us about every single thing. Try him. Just try him. Pray. Ask the Lord to guide you and to help you. There's nothing inconsequential, nothing too small for the Lord. He will help you. Forgetting God's goodness. God has been so good. You say, God is not good to me. God, let me tell you something. I've said this repeatedly. God does at least 10,000 good things for you every single day. Do you even thank him for one or two of those things? Never forget God's goodness. He is good to you. Deuteronomy 5:7 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Jesus, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There need to be some nevertheless prayers that go on in this big wide world. I'm not married, Lord, and I want to be married. Nevertheless, I'm walking with you. Or, Lord, I deserve that promotion. I know I interviewed along with 10 other people. Nevertheless, Lord, your will be done rather than my will be done. We can't make God put him as a genie in a bottle. He is not at our service. We are at his service. Just pray to the Lord, help me. Help me through this matter. Help me through this issue. I don't know which way to go. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I'm lonely, Lord. I'm lonely. Nevertheless, I'm in pain, Lord. I'm in pain, and doctors don't have any answers. Just help me, Lord. That's how Jesus prayed. Help me. I think that things could go a different way. Nevertheless, it's going your way. And I'm going with you. Worship God in spite of life. Life is complicated. Worship God in spite of pain. Life can become very painful. Worship God in spite of loneliness. Loneliness is a very real issue. Just pray. Continue to praise the Lord. Lift your hands to the Lord and say, Father, I don't understand everything that's going on, but I'm with you and you're with me. Praise the Lord. These Gibeonites came in and they didn't just do underhanded. They just bold-faced lie to the nation of Israel. And they bought it, hook, line, and sinker. Do not. Satan has a bag of tricks. Pay attention. And lean hard on the Lord every day. Do not take a step without Him ever. And He will help you through the twists, turns, thick and thin, bumps in the road, lights out at the end of the tunnel, rug pulled out from under your feet. He will help you every step of the way. Joshua would say, I guess, boys, we got snookered. We needed to put God first. That's where we made our mistake. And I would say to you, as the bulletin cover says, put God first. Let's pray together. Father, whether it's daily devotions or whether it's weekly worship, whatever we do, we want to put you first. Father, there may be someone here that's not saved, who's outside of Christ, and the journey home, the journey to reconciliation, wholeness, peace with you starts with accepting Christ as their Savior. Father, if there are those today who don't know Christ, may they come as I'm talking to you, Lord, to faith in Christ. May their hearts be moved to step out in a moment and come to faith in Christ. There may be those who need prayer, someone to pray with them and to pray for them. They're in a nevertheless moment, and they just need spiritually to lean on the church family, their pastor. May they come, Lord, for prayer. There may be those who need a church home. They're believers. They live in the community. They just need a place to worship and to serve and to grow in their holy faith. Lord, may they come today as well. Bless every heart as we sing our closing song. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 479 in your hymnals. 479. How about stand together?